back on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now. How you doing on a Friday, Brandon Stokely?
I'm doing great, Cecil Lammy.
I love doing the Zach Bye impression at the beginning of the show. Everyone that fills in does it, right?
They try.
Everyone tries.
Yeah, they try.
They don't get it right.
No.
Don't get it like Zach.
You might be at the top of the list, though.
Okay, I'll take that.
You might be the closest. You do a good job.
Well, I listen to Stokely and Zach all the time. So,
well, we appreciate you.
I had better be able to memorize that beginning.
That's right. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It is a Friday. We got a pro day on.
I know. I'm leaving it for a little bit.
Okay.
We'll see.
And then we got golf on after that somewhere?
Yes, we're going to have golf going. Okay. Big match play day. Action flying. So,
well, you run the remote here. I'm the guest, so like I'm not going to tell you I need to see Will Levis's pro day.
Right. But, you know, I'm open and receptive to, like, if you like, hey, I really want to watch it. I'm like, cool, we'll watch it then, you know, because I want to be a good host.
Okay.
Right?
I like that.
You know, like, it's like you're coming to my house. I'm not going to boss you around and say, this is what we've got to watch. Right? If you really want to
put your feet on the couch.
Right. If you want to watch Will Levis pro day, then you know, we'll watch Will
Levis. I don't even have a first round grade on him, so I don't need to watch.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
Talk about overhyped. That's a different conversation.
Overhyped. Okay.
I'll tell you what's not overhyped. March Madness.
Oh.
NCAA college basketball. We got a bunch of action from last night that we can talk about, but it's the Zags again. It's Gonzaga again. Hitting a big three with seconds to remain, beating UCLA 79-76 last night. These two teams, I don't know what it is about them, but they always give us an entertaining show.
Just like instant classics. Again, I mean, we all remember the Final Four game a few years ago, and I think it was in overtime, and the walk-off three-pointer, you know, heave. That Gonzaga hit to win that game. And now this one where the guy pulls up, I don't know, 5 feet past half court or whatever it was.
He was still in the S for March Madness in the center of the court.
Yes, and just drains a three. I mean, when UCLA had the big lead, it's just but another instant classic. We were down there last Friday at Tivoli Brewery and hanging out. They had the Gonzaga, I want to say it right because I got criticized. Gonzaga like party before the game.
Okay,
and so all the Zags were in there, and there were some local people. It wasn't all coming from out of state, and so a few of them were like, "Hey, you got to say the name better. You got to say the name right." And I was like,
"What
okay,
were you saying?
Gonzaga? Yes, it's Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
Yes." So I'm working on it. So I said, "I will. I'll work on it."
All right.
But it was great to see some of our listeners or Gonzaga alumni, and but I was pulling for UCLA. I got to be honest. I was pulling for UCLA.
Why?
I like Mick Cronin, their coach. I like him a lot. I got a chance to meet him and hang out with him. And he was fun. He was great. And so I've been a UCLA fan ever since. And so that's why I was going for UCLA. So that one hurt. I thought they had him.
Yeah, they did. And then Gonzaga got the lead, and then they almost gave it away.
Yep.
So it was like classic back and forth college basketball. And this is why we love March Madness.
And how about the other game? The other overtime, the game before it went to overtime, Michigan State,
Kansas State.
Is Richie
okay? Is Richie coming in today?
Have we checked on? No, Richie's in Vegas.
Oh, Richie is in Vegas, yeah.
Yeah, so I think he can find a few things to make him okay. You know, like, because he's a Michigan State guy.
Yeah.
That was a tough one.
He's like a mascot for Michigan State.
He has
Spartans gear as he wears.
Pinstripe, green and white.
Yeah.
Suit.
Did he take that to Vegas?
You know
Please
he
tell
did.
Me he didn't take
you
it to Vegas.
You know he did.
He can't take it to Vegas.
He did.
Wow.
I don't think he's going to wear it. He probably wore it yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
He probably wore
Maybe
it.
Maybe people
that was a
are
tough
buying
loss.
Him drinks because they lost last night.
Maybe. Maybe that would be nice of him. He needs something. And then the Tennessee got upset by Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, I mean, FAU still kicking it around in the tournament.
They had the 5-point lead at halftime and just played awful in the second half. And, you know, Arkansas, I guess their coach wasn't taking his shirt off after the game when they lost by 50 to UConn, and they actually lost by 23. But,
right.
Their coach took his shirt off after the Kansas win last to make it to the Sweet 16. Took his shirt off and was jumping right. all up and down. I was like, dude, you're just in the Sweet 16. I get it. That's cool. You're excited. But, like, you didn't just win the national championship. And then the next game, you get beat by 23. Not ideal.
Are there certain levels that you can take your shirt off? Like, is it acceptable sometimes to celebrate without your shirt? Winning the national title, take your shirt off. That's acceptable.
Yeah, if you want to, sure. Okay. Going to the Final Four,
okay.
I think is
would be acceptable.
That would be acceptable. Going to the Sweet 16, that's awesome and it's cool and it's a big time moment for your team, but I don't know if it's take your shirt off worthy.
Okay.
You know?
It's lines.
I don't know. What do you think?
He's having an assistant coach think? Next to him and be like, no, coach, just right. Sweet 16.
Yes.
Like pulling the shirt
yes.
down.
Yes, exactly.
Or maybe suspenders? Something?
Something.
Okay.
Maybe he needs to just tell his assistant coach, like you said, I like
right.
that. So he's
right.
still like, hey, if I try to take it off, don't let me.
Exactly.
Like, don't let me take it off.
I think it was Chris Rock that said everyone needs a 12:45 guy because nothing good happens
right.
after 12:45.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, you could have that assistant coach be like, go, coach. No. Shirts on.
I like that.
Or maybe a reminder, right? Final timeout. Okay, guys, we got him. Let's run this play. But remember, everyone keep your shirts on.
Yeah, I mean, but sometimes it just, you hit that late three and then, you know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't plan for that situation and you just kind of lose your mind. You need that guy following you around to remind
yes.
you. I like that, see? So I think, but what do you think? Sweet 16 should?
No.
Is that?
Not the Final Four, yes.
Okay.
Final Four, yes. National title, of course. Sweet 16, no. So I'm right there with you. UConn, the only team left that's won a title.
Wow. Yeah.
That's good for the sport, though, right?
I think so, yeah. You know, it's not just, even though I love them, Chicken Fingers loves them, Duke.
Oh, don't say
North
Duke.
Carolina.
How'd Duke
Kansas.
Do against CU women, huh? How'd that go?
We don't care about the Duke girls' basketball.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it's Duke, right? It's Duke.
It's the. We don't care about that one.
Okay. All right.
So you know none of those top teams are
you thinking of other like blue bloods?
Yeah. I mean,
okay, Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky from the
Kentucky,
day.
Kentucky, yeah. Kansas. I mean they're all
oh,
gone.
Thank God it's not Kansas. You know how much BK would run around with the trophy? You know
how many selfies
we get?
My son loves Kansas, so I'm also a Kansas fan.
Okay.
So.
All right.
It's refreshing. It's nice. It's different, and that's what we love about the tournament and basketball. You know, college basketball, when you have all these guys, some guys, you know, one and dones or whatever the case may be, they're going to the G League. And, you know, these veteran teams, they can get in here and, you know, do some damage.
Make some noise.
Against young teams with inexperienced rosters. So
right.
It's awesome. We love it. It's so much fun. And we had some a couple instant classics last night. The Zags beating UCLA and then Kansas State, beating Michigan State in overtime. And they had a classic play in that game where it looked like the point guard was yelling at his coach. And this was in overtime. Yelling at his coach. All of a sudden, he throws up an alley hoop. It's like, wait, what just happened? Oh, they got him. Was that a design play or what? Crazy, crazy play.
Yeah.
Instant classic. Absolutely love it. So hopefully, you know, we got some games coming on all weekend.
Hopefully
long. We have a few more like we had last night.
You never know with March Madness, the greatest sporting event of all time. The Broncos took a survey that has triggered some in Broncos country. We'll tell you why next.
This is how we do it.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Friday. I want you to get up and dance, unless you're driving.
Get up and dance.
Don't do that. I thought you might do that to this song.
No. I do like it, though.
You got to talk?
Montrell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. I almost said Montrell Washington, but no.
Montrell Jordan. Yeah, there we
you're
go.
Right. There you go.
All right.
The Broncos are issuing a new stadium survey to season ticket holders. Among the questions asked to the fans, stadium location, which triggers people, roof configuration, which shouldn't, max time you would drive to a stadium, rank the five most important factors for a new stadium, and it seems to be the location that is drawing the ire because everyone wants this dream of it being downtown and it's right where it's at and that's the spot it needs to be. And I'm like, put it out there by the airport, make a mall or whatever you want, everything else, hotels, all that kind of like the new stadium experience. You've been to the new stadium, Stoke. You know how they put everything around them.
Right.
People seem to be interested, glad the Broncos did this, but also upset at the idea of the stadium maybe moving.
Yeah, well, I think you got to be open to it. And like you said, if you're going to build a new stadium, you're going to want to build it like it's a complex.
Yeah.
It's a one-stop shop. You're going there, and you got restaurants, and you got all this stuff. And that's probably what you're going to what it's going to look like if you go out a little bit further or by the airport or wherever, somewhere with some land, that's the full stadium experience that you really don't get downtown.
No.
And now, could you get it downtown? That is the question, and you could get it downtown. More so, maybe not to the effect of something if you go with a lot more land, but there is enough there downtown to be able to do some different things to make the stadium experience better downtown. Now, what do you do to the stadium? Now, do you want a stadium with a roof? You know, all these different things so you can host different events during the wintertime or have different things because now you have a roof. Where are right. you at with the whole cover, roof, retractable, or whatever the case could be?
I was going to ask you about your time in Indianapolis. I think Indianapolis Stadium is almost the design that you want, where it's a retractable roof stadium. You keep it open when the weather's nice, and even at Denver, because of the snow, and that's part of the advantage, maybe you keep it open then. But you close it for a Super Bowl that you're never going to get unless you have a retractable roof. Like, I don't know, you played in Indy forever. How many times was it even open?
Well, for me, I wasn't a part of, that's a new stadium.
Oh, so you were RCA.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I was RCA, and so I wasn't a part of the new stadium.
Lucas Oil Stadium.
Right. I wasn't a part of that, so I think, but it makes a lot of sense to have a retractable one.
Yeah.
If you want the roof closed, you can have it closed. If you want it open, you can have it open. Seems like the right idea when you're looking to build a brand new stadium to have that option.
Right.
That's where I would lean. Now, if you want to say, hey, we want it to be old school football, we wanted the environment and the elements and those types of things, all right, cool. Then leave it open. Right, but you should have the choice and the option to be able to close it if you wanted to and leave it open if you wanted to. That's kind of where I'm at with the roof. Now you're not going to be able to put a roof on Mile High.
No.
So on Empower down there, you're not going to be able to do that.
So what do you do?
If you want to do the roof and have that option, you're probably going to have to build a brand new one. Right? It's not just going to be renovation. And that means you're probably going to have to go out. Right? I mean, if you stay on this site, all you can do is really renovate it. Well, I mean, where else in downtown? I mean, where else could you build a stadium? Could you build a stadium?
What are they going to do with Ilitch's, right? We've heard that forever.
That's like, right where I was going.
Do they go to Ilitch's and they do a family deal because Kroenke's right there with Ball Arena? Like, is that some sort of sports complex? Then my mind goes to where's everybody going to park? You know, but like if they do something with that ground where Ilitch's is at, then maybe we have something. But are they just trying to square peg round hole this thing when they could buy a bunch of empty land around the airport, do whatever they want and build it the way that they want and just have the new stadium experience with all the shopping and the theaters and the concert venues or whatever, in addition to, oh, yeah, a really gigantic football stadium?
I mean, that's what it seems like to me is going to happen. Just guessing, just speculating, just thinking. I mean, why would you not?
And everyone will get used to it. I know everyone doesn't like it now, but you'll get used to it, right?
Yeah. I mean, just like anything else. And then once you go there, you're like, wow, this is awesome.
This is great.
This is really cool.
Train out there or whatever?
Whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But I like that the Broncos are doing this. Like, how much do they really look at this and say and put into this survey? Right, when they get the feedback, I mean, how much do they, will they, does it sway them one way or the other? You know what I'm saying? Like that,
I don't think it would, right?
It's but nice I like that they're
do
doing
it, on the
it
surface.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, hey,
is
we
it
care.
Just for show?
Kinda.
How much do they put into that, these responses, these answers?
Right.
Probably very little, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's not going to, But I like that they're doing it still. I think in some of the situations, they probably, maybe more so than others, with some of the questions,
right? Do you
think
they already have their mind made up on some of this stuff?
That's a good question, and that's a hard one to answer. I think some of it, I think they probably do. They have an idea of what they want to do. But some of it, I think they're probably open to listening to what the fans say and what some of the answers are. But I think the majority of it, you know, you probably know what you want to do.
Right. Well, retractable roof makes a lot of sense. And I noticed, Kevin, when you put this together, you're talking about Final Four, Super Bowls, World Cup events. Thank you for that. Olympics. You didn't mention the draft. The draft draws a million plus people to town now. Whether it was Nashville, which was epic, whether it was Vegas, which they had to wait for the COVID year. But, like, the draft is a monumental event, and you're not going to get it at Red Rocks. I'm sorry. I love Red Rocks. I don't live too far from Red Rocks. But, like, it ain't going to be at Red Rocks. That's, what, 10,000 people or whatever? You need a place that can, you know, a couple hundred thousand people a day and a million total for the weekend.
Why are you down on Kisner? Why you call Kisner out?
Because he didn't put the draft down here. Everyone forgets about the draft. Just because the Broncos have a third-round pick.
You didn't have to call him out on air.
How many times the state is the draft at the stadium?
A lot of them. A lot of them. I think of Jerry's World. He had 250,000 people there.
Well, I think you can put it wherever you want, right?
If
you have the facility to do it, that's where you would put it. So, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it opens you up for a lot of cool events coming to town. I mean, that's what it does for you. Right now, we're kind of on the outside looking in when it comes to a lot of these things. It's like, oh, wait, Kansas City? Wait, what? Kansas City? They got the draft?
Yeah.
They got this? They're hosting World Cup. Like, why? That whole thing is weird to me. But you look at some of these other cities that are getting things, and here in Denver, we're kind of on the outside looking in.
Right.
This would open you up for a lot of really cool events. And the draft, we've been talking about the draft since the Broncos made the big play for it three years ago now, 4 years, whatever
right,
it was.
Whatever it was.
And how cool that would be to have that here. And you've been to a bunch of them and you love it. I've never been to one, but it would be awesome. But all this other stuff would be really cool too.
Right.
To be a part of. And now you get into the conversation. You might go to the front of the line of some of these conversations if you do have a great stadium to attract some of these events.
And if you're the Walton Penner Group, you'll be making money from having these events here.
Where is that on their list of things, do you think, what you just said there?
It's number one, right? Isn't it?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. I don't know if it's number one or if they have the, I mean, some people have the mindset of, you know what? It might not be a huge moneymaker, but I want to put my stamp on this state and this city. And look, you know, the Penner Group is here. You know, here you go. Here's this great stadium, and look what we brought you, these great events. So, you know, kind of like L.A., you know, the SoFi Stadium out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that attracts things, and it's a huge stadium in L.A., and, you know, so I don't know. I don't know what it looks like as far as a return on your dollar, a stadium like that.
Okay. Well,
I mean, those things are expensive. I mean, you're going to have a lot of events to make
to
that money back.
That. Right, right. Well, when you're got a B, you got B's next year.
Yeah, B's.
The B's. Yeah, you can do those type of things.
Are you really looking at the bottom line on all this stuff, or are you just like, nah, whatever?
It's difficult for me.
I don't know.
Shoes of a billionaire.
I know. That's why I'm asking.
Okay. All right. Well, the Broncos wanted running back help. They got it. And, I kind of like it. We'll tell you why next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
We used to taste that Ted and Uber freight. Couple of kids in a Chevrolet. Catch a little air when we cross the track.
Friday edition, Stokely and Zach. Cecil Lammy sitting in for Zach By.
Sipping on something from a paper sack.
That's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right now. Yes, I'm still. The Broncos have signed a running back. And would you be surprised they signed a running back that was from the Saints? Sean Payton goes back to the well with New Orleans and gets running back Tony Jones.
Oh.
Yeah, Tony Jones.
Tell me about Tony Jones, Cecil.
I saw him at the Shrine game in Tampa. I think that was 2020, a few years ago. And he is a no-nonsense, hard-nosed, all-around runner. Like, he's not going to wow you with speed. He's not going to wow you with moves. But he's going to plug and play. He's going to kind of plug it up in there between the tackles. That's kind of his game. Kind of a rough running back, you know,
5'11", 224 pounds,
rugged,
yeah,
bowling ball.
I love it. Okay,
right? You know,
right.
So he's that type of guy, and again, emphasizing the power that this team has. Think of that. You have Javonte Williams, one of the best running backs after contact in the league when he's healthy. You've got Samaje Perine, my Motorboat Rookie of the Year when he came out of OU because he's huge and unstoppable. And now you got another big back in Tony Jones. I guess they like big backs, and they cannot lie.
Hmm. I see what you did there.
I know.
I like it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This is great, man. And to me, it's not a big, huge signing. They're not paying him a lot of money. I don't know what the contract details are. But this is a guy that knows Sean Payton's offense.
Yep.
Okay. So he can come in and help everyone out. He knows what Sean Payton's about. Sean Payton obviously knows what he's about and likes him, and that's why he's bringing him here. So, for me, two thumbs up here, like low risk, really no risk here.
No.
High reward, and you get a lot of benefits from signing a guy like Tony Jones. It also, Cecil, for me, frees you up more in the draft. Where now, look, if there's a running back there in the fifth round that you love, you can take him.
Okay.
If not, you know what? You don't have to.
You're fine.
You're fine. You have a lot of depth at the running back position now, and with Perine, with Tony Jones, and then, you know, depending on the health of Javonte Williams. So you're in a good spot. And then Latavius Murray, if you want to bring him back at some point, I mean, you can do that pretty much whenever, right?
August. I hate to say that, but Latavius was one of those guys that he'll be there, you know, June, July, August, whatever.
Yeah.
I think I don't think the phone lines are heating up for Latavius right now. Could be totally wrong. He could sign today. But, like, no, I think he's one of those guys that you know what he's going to get. He's going to stay in shape. He's a pro's pro. And if you need him, you call him.
And if not, if he is signed somewhere else, there'll be 10 other guys available for you.
Yeah.
Because all you're really looking for is depth at that point.
Right.
But I like how it frees you up in the draft.
Okay.
Frees you up in the draft to say, because, you know, we don't have 30 picks. We don't have, you know, 10 picks. We don't have premium picks. If there's a guy there, an Isaiah Pacheco right there, when did he get drafted?
Seventh round.
Right. So if there's a Pacheco there that you really like and you're saying, okay, now we can take him. If there's not, you know, you don't have to. You're not forcing the running back issue in the draft. And that's kind of what a signing like Tony Jones does for you here.
Okay. I like it. I like that you're excited about it. I am afraid, Brandon Stokely.
You're afraid.
I am afraid.
Of?
That Javonte Williams is the new Cortland Sutton.
Oh.
You know what I mean by that?
Yeah. Well,
where
I do, but I want to know why you're afraid.
And he's never going to be the same.
Why are you afraid?
Like, I love Cortland. I believe you love Court. Like, we all respect Court's game, and he's never been the same since his knee. He just hasn't. And God bless him, but that's the truth. And I'm just afraid Javonte, with a more serious knee injury, Javonte in a position where he takes more punishment, I don't know if he'll ever be the same again.
Well, I look.
That sucks.
No, but I don't want you to let one thing impact the other.
What do you mean?
Don't let Cortland's impact everything else, like every other knee injury the rest of your life.
Okay.
That's kind of you're going down that
negative Nelly roll.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
I get it. Like, he hasn't. He hasn't been the same player that he was before the injury. And sometimes that's just the case. But sometimes guys come back from these things and they're totally fine. Totally fine. Right? I mean, I had an ACL my junior year of college. I came back, played 15 years in the NFL.
Right.
Right? Now, it was just an ACL. It wasn't, you know, Javonte had a few other things that he had to get fixed up also.
Right.
And he plays a different position. So, I think everyone is unique and different when it comes to these things. Every surgery is different, and how you bounce back and how you come back from those things is different. And so I'm just going to keep my fingers crossed here with Javonte Williams that it won't be. But I get it. Like, sometimes you're scarred, right, from previous situations.
Right.
And certainly one like Courtland Sutton is a big bummer.
Yeah, because we're all excited about him.
But hopefully that's not the case with Javonte. Let's just hold out hope. Let's be optimistic. Until we're not.
How about
that?
Until
we actually see it.
How about that, huh? We on the fan are going to be optimistic.
Me and you.
That's all that matters,
baby. I prefer to be optimistic about the situation right now until I see different.
Okay.
And with Javonte Williams, I'm just going to hold out hope that, you know what, this guy's going to work his tail off. Hopefully, and it sounded like this thing was moving in the right direction.
Okay.
When we heard from George Payton last time.
Right.
And maybe we'll be hearing from those guys coming up here early next week at the owners meeting.
Yeah.
I think we will.
We will then, yes.
I think we will,
yes.
Right? We're supposed to. And so maybe we'll get an update on Javonte Williams. But for me, until I hear, otherwise, I'm going to think that he's going to be ready to go and he's going to have a really good season.
Is it a concern that none of these running backs are pass catchers? I mean, Samaje Perine's okay as a screen guy. Javonte's okay as a screen guy. Tony Jones is okay. But none of these guys are like that dangerous receiver. I mean, they got a bunch of power.
Right.
You want big backs. Denver's got them. But like, none of these guys are real great receivers. Is that a problem?
Well, Perine is a third down back. Now, he's not the Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey type of guy. But I'm looking at the situation. How many of those are out there?
Not many.
It's hard to find those guys.
Yeah.
Everybody wants one of those guys, so it's hard to find those guys. I think the addition of Samaje Perine gives you that third down back that is serviceable to good in the passing game, right? He's not on another level, but at least it gives you that guy that knows how to play that role at a high level. Now, he's not special. He's not special in that role. He's not a great pass receiving back, but he's serviceable. And he can be good in that role. So you have that while you can explore in the draft possibly of trying to find that pass-receiving back out of Tulane.
Tajay Spears.
Out of Tulane, right?
Okay,
see,
yes.
See, I did
right.
a little homework.
Did,
I don't remember where he went to school.
You wrote it down? You got the notes?
I do. It's in my backpack.
There you go.
We went over some draft picks, possible draft picks for the Broncos yesterday.
Right.
Later rounds, obviously. They don't have a first or second round pick right now. And you mentioned the running back out of Tulane.
Tajay Spears.
Could be a possible fit for the Broncos. He's a good pass-receiving back.
Could be a real good fit for the Broncos as
Love
that pass-receiving back.
You said third round for him, right?
Yeah,
kind of a third-round
guy.
Yeah,
I don't think he lasts much past that. And you'll be a little bit lucky if he's there in the third, but he should be.
Gotcha.
I think he should be. So if you're the Broncos, you maybe consider that. But now you got Tony Jones. You got depth.
Yeah. Do you like it?
You're not in a position. I really like it because I like Tony Jones coming out of college. Liked him at the Shrine Bowl. Like, you're not desperate, right? The Broncos aren't desperate. They don't need to go out and move up or whatever. Like, no, they've got a solid backfield of very large running backs.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But this team wants to run the football.
Yeah.
They're trying to establish identity here.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. And all it does is free you up more in the draft. And that's what it does here. And, you don't have a lot of premium picks. So if a guy's there, you take him. If not, you don't have to worry about it. So under the radar signing here, not a splashy signing.
Right.
It's not like all the, Ben Powers or McGlinchey. But it's a quality signing here by George Payton and Sean Payton. I like it.
Speaking of quality, Nikola Jokic might be playing for the MVP award this weekend.
MVP.
We'll tell you why.
MVP.
Next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
My goodness, coming up Thursday, we're holding a very special fan VIP event where you can mingle with us, the fan hosts, and catch an exclusive early screening of Air. The movie doesn't open in theaters until April 5th, but you can see it early and have a great time hanging out with your favorite fan hosts, Stink, Evans, Nate, Zach, D-Mac, and Derek, to name a few, who will be there. I will be there with a special pair. I actually found a special pair of Broncos Jordans of the old school Broncos colors. So I have a brand new pair, ladies and gentlemen, 111, I think. I lost count. I can't count that high. But either way, you want to be there with me? You want to be there with your favorite fan hosts? Well, then we're giving away four VIP seats to air to the event. Caller number four right now, 303-713-1043. That's 303-713-1043. It is on Thursday, a fan VIP event where you can catch that early screen of Air, the Michael Jordan movie, man. And listen, I like Ben Affleck. I like Matt Damon. But I got to tell you, Stoke, and obviously I'm biased because I'm a huge Jordan fan, that movie looks pretty damn good.
I've seen a few the previews, a couple
the trailers,
times.
Yeah.
Like that's awesome.
Yeah. Right?
Anything kind of like that, I love. So I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, it's kind of the history in when Nike signed Michael Jordan and how just kind of unique it was at the time. I think in the trailer they're like, "Well, Magic Johnson doesn't have his own shoe," and guy's like, "Exactly." And it was like, huh? Like, oh, no, yeah, yeah. So that's going to be awesome. We want to be there with you. Caller number four for that fan VIP event. The Denver Nuggets, they take on the Bucks tomorrow. They take on the Sixers Monday. Is Nikola Jokic playing for the MVP award this weekend? And how important, Stoke, is it for the Nuggets to play well against the two top teams from the East?
Well, I think if he wants to win the MVP, then it's those two games. And really, for me, it's a Sixers game.
Okay.
Against Embiid.
It's Embiid.
Everybody's
right.
Going to put everything on
that. But is that fair?
That. No.
Is that fair? You're
dumb.
Saying that's the way it is, but I'm like, that's not fair.
Cecil, guess what?
Life's
not fair.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's not. It's dumb. It's like, okay, we're going to put everything's going to come down to one game. How about look at the whole sample size
exactly.
of the season?
Right.
But, you know, it's a close race to begin with, and all eyes are on this game and this matchup, and that's what everybody's going to look at, and that is going to determine it. It is. The game against the Sixers, so fair or not fair, that's the way it's going to be. So, yes, he's going to have to play great if he's going to overcome Embiid. Yeah, Embiid passed him up in the odds now. It's okay. Like, I don't get it. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how he became this huge favorite. All of a sudden, he's having a great season.
Yeah.
But so is Jokic.
Right.
But it's going to come down to one game.
Jokic is having a historic season.
He always has an historic season.
I don't want to bring
season.
In the advanced stats, but, like, he's having historic, never-done-before numbers. And Embiid is fantastic, but it seemed like Joker was just going to be the third-time MVP in a row, and then all of a sudden Kendrick Perkins goes off. Everyone loses their mind about stat padding, which isn't real, and then now Joker's not the favorite. I don't know. You help me out there. None of it makes sense.
I can't. I really can't. It's hard to do. Like, I can't make it make sense. I just can't. Sorry. You know, it's just one of those situations you look around like, God, I feel like we're getting screwed here.
Okay.
You know, yeah. And I think that's what's really happening
yeah.
here. And Jokic might average a triple-double for the season. Like, he's that close.
Yeah.
And he didn't have the assists last game, but he's going to need to pick it up in the assist category a little bit. But he is so close to averaging a triple-double for the number one seed in the West. Like, I can't – to me, how is that guy not the MVP?
Yeah, that's what MVP is all about.
That's right. But your team's winning and you're doing something historic. I don't get it. But we'll see. If Jokic brings it on Monday night against the Sixers, they got the Bucks Saturday, and that will be a primetime matchup. He's
right.
going to need to play well.
Right.
He will play well.
Yes.
But all eyes will be on that Monday night matchup at home against Embiid.
I do not think he needs extra motivation for the postseason, but we know this team needs to get it done in the postseason. You and I have talked about, like, Western Conference Finals, NBA Finals, whatever is whatever. But, and I'm going to ask this, don't get mad at me, texters. Would it actually be better if he didn't win so then he's got a chip on his shoulder? Because we all know he's the best player in basketball. We all know that, except for Drew Spivak. We all know Nikola Jokic is the best player in all of basketball.
Oh, and Drew under the bus.
I know, now.
First hour, you chunk.
First it was Kevin,
finger,
now it's
the
Drew.
Bus.
Yeah.
Now it's Drew, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You better watch out, not you, everybody else.
Yeah. No, I
but
I
does
don't.
He maybe if he loses it, then he's a chip on his shoulder, then he goes on a tear in the playoffs? Like, no.
He doesn't care.
That's not
he
him.
He really doesn't care about the MVP award. I think he would actually like for Embiid to win it, so he's not in the conversation of, you know, what's going on in the playoffs with the MVP. I think you just prefer Embiid to win it. And I think he goes out and just plays his game regardless.
Okay.
Regardless, chip, no chip, winning MVP, not winning MVP. He's going to go out there and do his thing. I don't think he needs extra motivation.
Don't you kind of want him to want that extra motivation? Don't you kind of want him to want to be known as the greatest of all time?
Well, you know, it doesn't really matter what I want. He's a great player, and he's figured it out pretty good doing it his way. Right? Everyone is wired differently. And,
right.
And we don't see guys like him. We just don't.
No.
In today's professional sports. So, you know, do I want him to want to win that third MVP and, you know, advocate for himself a little bit and maybe go out of his way to get that triple-double? Yes. Because that's how I'm wired. That's what I would be doing.
Right.
You're like, all right, okay, let's go. Right? He's just not wired that way, which is fine. Which is actually refreshing. It is great. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why he's sticking around here and staying here and signing the big contract. And you don't have to worry about all that other stuff. Like, it's not just about him individually. It's more about the team. And that is awesome. So I love the way that he is wired and the way that he thinks and the way that he goes about his business. It's different.
It is.
Right? It is different, but I think it's awesome.
It is refreshing. And it's refreshing because most of the times, guys that are that great, they're maniacs.
Yeah.
They're maniacal about winning.
Well,
and I'm not saying he doesn't care about winning, but he's just.
No, they're maniacs about just everything, like wanting stats, like wanting to get paid, wanting the bright lights. I mean,
Jordan would make up stuff against people, like the stuff that people didn't even say. To be like, you said something about my mama, and they'd be like, I didn't say anything.
George Call gave me the cold shoulder. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
George's like, wait, no, I didn't. No, he went, no,
hey, okay,
right. No, I didn't do that. Yes, but you're exactly right. I think with Jokic, he is. He wants to win. He wants to be great, but he just does it differently. And you know, we saw it here, Carmelo. What did he want to do? He wanted the bright lights. He wanted New York,
big city.
So he forced his way out of town, right? We don't have to worry about that with Jokic. He loves it here, which is awesome, you know. And it will be. It's going to be Monday night, must see TV. Zach will be. We got a little present for Zach, by the way.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
A surprise present?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Got him a little gift. Can't wait to unveil that on Monday or Tuesday.
Monday or Tuesday.
Yes. We haven't decided yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. A little secret gift for the Z-Man. And, the Joker would love to give another gift to Nuggets fans in terms of another MVP. That's coming up on Monday night. It is Stokely and Zach. I'm Cecil Lammy sitting in for Zach Bye. And the Broncos, they are going to add players to their secondary. But what specifically and who? We'll tell you next.